Jesus. Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us for the very first time, a special welcome. I'm delighted you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a really good habit to get into. Folks all around this planet have that habit, by the way, so you're in really, really good company. If you have not yet subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, be sure you do that. It's our free weekly newsletter. And when we say free, we mean free. No tricks, no strings attached. It's really free. And we send it out each weekend. We start right after the show on Friday night and send it out. Some of you get it Friday night. Some of you get it on Saturday. Some of you get it on Sunday. It's a big list. But anyway, just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe. It's really free. Good news. In fact, we have to have some applause for us. Good news is that we have beat the deadline by one day. We reached our goal that we had to have in order to continue operating as we are operating right now. Everything remains the same. Keep in mind, though, and thank you, all of you who did anything whatsoever. If you donated from a penny up, thank you. You helped us to survive. Now, that's great news, but keep in mind that this gets us past this crisis, okay? But as long as this economic crisis is happening all across this country and around the world, we are going to be faced with tough times on an ongoing basis here. And one of the things that you can do, that what that means is we pay the studio rent, we pay the utilities, we make it happen. And that gets us 30 days, okay? And then it all happens again. Every 30 days, actually every week, these bills, some of them, are due. And but think of it in terms of 30 days. Every 30 days, just like at your home, everything has to happen, okay? So one of the things you can do that will help us, if you really want to help us and you want to put a floor under the show so that we're not facing this crisis kind of thing every 30 days, one of the things you can do would be to join our members area. Now, you might say, well, yeah, you know, look, that's 23 cents a day. That's not going to help you. Yeah, it really will. That's what hurt us, was when enough of our members had lost their jobs that they could not be in the members area. They couldn't afford to keep their membership up. That's what caused the crisis. It's a whole bunch of 23 cents a dayers. Okay? So be a 23 cents a dayer. Help us to put that floor back up under the show. And then we can just move on, and everything will be wonderful. All right, I'm going to share with you another idea that you can do if you want to help this show, and it won't cost you anything, when we come back from this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I told you that I was going to share with you an idea, something that you can do that will help this show, and it won't cost you a penny. Now, I have to be honest about this. I did not think of this. This was actually a combination of two different emails that I got from you, from our listeners, making suggestions about things that we could do that would help the show. And look, right from the beginning, in those very early days, those first days in Kosovo, I have always said this show is about you. This show is you. It is about you. It's about what you're interested in. Almost all of the topics that we talk about are suggested by members of our audience. Most of the guests that we talk about, or that we talk with, are suggested by you, members of our audience, people who listen to the show. And so this is a combination of two emails I got. I put the ideas together and sort of tweaked it a little bit, and here it is, okay? People keep saying, look, Kevin, you work too many hours. You need to get you some volunteers. Well, a lot of the stuff that I do here, it would be virtually impossible to teach to a volunteer. Plus, we have had some volunteers in the past, and some of you remember this, who actually worked against the interest of the show. And, I mean, actively tried to sabotage the show and did a pretty good job. And so I've been kind of leery about having volunteers. But after reading these two emails and looking at it from a little different perspective as a result of that, I came up with this. We talk about, almost jokingly, we talk about the Kevi Knights. You know, kind of a takeoff. Yeah, it's a takeoff on the Jedi Knights, right? The Kevi Knights is the name of our brand new volunteer group. What we will ask you to do is so simple, so easy, and costs you absolutely nothing that there's really no reason not to do it, okay? Now, I want to send you the information of what the Kevi Knights do. In fact, after you get this information and you do some just very basic, simple setup on a couple of things that we'll explain it all in the information that I send you, that's it. That's just it. That's all you do. And you will be promoting the Kevin Smith Show automatically. So, and it's absolutely free. I mean, really free. So here's how you get that information. If you're interested, you like this show, and you want to help us really punch this thing out over the top, then you need to join the Kevi Knights. You need to become a Kevi Knight, okay? And it's you just send me an email. Just go to my contact page, and over there where it says suggestions, click on suggestions, and the very first thing you type in is Kevi Knight, K-E-V-I-K-N-I-G-H-T. Put a space between them, K-E-V-I, space, K-N-I-G-H-T, Kevi Knight. And I will then reply to that email with the information on what we do and how we're going to do it, and you will see how simple it is. And believe me, this thing has the potential of really storming this planet. So I'm pretty excited about it. I want to thank, let's see, we had George in Ohio, and Ricky in, I believe he was in Florida, maybe in Alabama. But anyway, the two emails that gave me the suggestions that built the idea. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And as I have said, it is all about you. Speaking of all about you, you've been seeing now for some time in our commercial breaks, you've been seeing Jerry Wills talking to us about, you know, he's going through that time portal, that little video where he disappears through the time portal, and he says, you know, here's a rock from this time portal, and we're going to have a drawing, and someone is going to win it. Yeah, it's not, you know, look, it's not a chunk of gold, I understand that, but how many people even know where this time portal is? Believe me, it's hard to find. Very difficult to find. For professional expeditioners like Jerry, it was difficult to find. And but you can have, if you win the drawing, you can have that rock from the time portal as a souvenir, all right? And I don't know if anybody else has got one, but you'll have one. And all you have to do is be a member of our members area. It doesn't matter if you join on a monthly basis, a quarterly basis, or an annual basis. As long as you're a member, your name will be in the hat for the drawing. Okay. Now that drawing is going to take place on July the 31st, Friday night. My guest on the show that night will be Jerry Wills. And we're going to have the drawing, and you will be able to know before the show is over who won this artifact, I guess you could call it that, from the time portal. Now, Jerry Wills is traveling. He's on his way back to the Phoenix area from New York. I've talked with him twice today, and he is traveling. It is my estimation that by now he has made it into Arizona. They're driving. And I have no idea where they would be in Arizona right now, but he has said that he would try to give us a call sometime tonight and just say hello to everyone. And but that depends upon cell phone coverage, right? All right, now what we're going to do for tonight, well, you need to know this. Because we did not know for sure that we would reach our goal, we didn't know what was going to happen, and so I pushed back guests that we had scheduled and then did not schedule guests for some other days that we're now filling in. Because I didn't know. I didn't know if we were going to survive. I hoped we would, but I didn't know. Well, tonight we are going open line, and it's truly open line. Yes, I did bring you something. I always bring some goodies to the table. I brought you something. But it's truly open line. I want to hear from you on any topic that you have an interest in. That's in the genre of this show. I mean, it can be Bigfoot, it can be UFOs, it can be ghosts, EVPs, ESP, telekinesis, teleportation, remote viewing, whatever it is that's on your mind. When I open the telephones, I want you to have the absolute full freedom to call and talk about whatever you want to talk about. It can be, if you desire, it can be a guest that we've had on the show that you would like to discuss, that you would like to say something about. And that's quite all right if you want to do that. Now, for the goodies that I brought to the table, let me do this, and then after I present this to you, then we'll open up the telephone lines for everybody. Big night here again, big night. Oh, yeah, I got an email. You know, I announced last night the tragic loss of my longtime coffee mug, the big white coffee mug you've seen me with. I killed it. I knocked it off of the counter and broke it. I got an email from a guy who put a lot of little smiley faces in the email and wrote wink, wink two or three times in there. And but he said, you know, I think you're just playing on our sympathies, wink, wink. I don't believe you actually killed your coffee mug. You've got it hidden somewhere. I assure you, I killed it, and it has been dumpsterized. It's gone. All right, it is gone. And so I'm using the Kevin Smith Show coffee mug, you see. The big white coffee mug is gone. It's dead. It's DOA. All right, what have I brought to the table tonight? What I have brought to the table tonight is evidence that, once again, I know this is going to shock you, but once again, I was right. Now, I have gotten some sort of, not nasty email, but just, you know, a little bit slightly critical email over my statements that I make frequently when I say that there are no laws of physics. Now, I have made that statement to people who are physicists, to probably the most famous physicist on this planet who is now living. Right here on this show, I made that statement. He agreed with it. But I've gotten, you know, some email that was slightly critical that, you know, I'm using hyperbole and that, of course, there are laws of physics and so forth. I assure you I am not using hyperbole. I assure you I'm telling you exactly what I think. I think that there are no laws of physics. What we call laws of physics are just our descriptions of our observation and our understanding of how it works. Now, we observe things, the scientists observe them. Obviously, the scientist is not perfect. The machines with which he measures are not perfect. And therefore, you start out in any law of physics with an inaccuracy. It may be close, but it's still inaccurate. And then the scientist has to come up with a calculation, a formula, an equation that explains what he has observed. And so now it's dependent not only upon his observation, upon the close but inaccurate measurements, but now upon the ability of the scientist to describe it. And so every law of physics, right on the front end of it, you ought to see a big sign right on the front of every so-called law of physics that says, this is a mistake, but it's pretty close. I don't think there are laws of physics. I think that they are just observations. They are descriptions of our current understanding. Now, current understanding is subject to change, is it not? Current understanding means the way we understand it right now. But you see, and I have said this, some smart guy is going to come along, or gal, and step right over the boundary, step right over a law of physics, and boom, that's it. Now we'll be dealing with a whole new, quote, law of physics. Einstein did it to Newtonian physics. He gave Newton his due. I mean, he did a great job considering when he lived and considering the sort of non-scientific atmosphere that he was working in. He did a great job. But then along comes Einstein and steps right over Newtonian physics. And all of a sudden, there was a whole new panoply of laws of physics. Well, all of those are subject to having some smart person come along and step right over them. Einstein knew that. Einstein said, you know, that it would happen. He knew that he had inaccuracies and shortcomings within some of the equations and laws that he talked about. One of the supposed laws of physics is that there is no speed faster than the speed of light. Now, I've dealt with that on this show, too. I have talked about that specifically. And I said, you know, if you think about the speed of light, can you imagine 1 mile per hour faster? 186,000 miles per second, can you think of 1 mile per hour faster than that? Of course, you just add a one, you know, one more mile per hour. But achieving it is something else. And what I said and have said repeatedly is that the speed of light is not the fastest speed there is. It's the fastest speed we have observed up till now. But that's not the fastest speed there is. You can go faster than the speed of light because you can imagine adding one to the speed of light. If you can imagine adding one to the speed of light, someone will imagine how. And they have. I've also said that if there are extraterrestrial civilizations out there on other planets around other stars, and if they are coming to Earth, they are traveling at speeds faster than the speed of light. Have I not? And you've heard me say there is no way they're using radio, because if they're traveling faster than the speed of light, radio waves travel at the speed of light. That means they would be outrunning their own radio transmission. If they're going faster than the speed of light, their radio transmission would be left behind. So they're not communicating with their home planet. The home planet is not communicating with them via radio. Well, that's based on my current understanding of radio. And that has now been changed because some smart guy figured out how you can make radio waves travel faster than the speed of light. Now, granted, these are manipulated waves. Granted, these are it's not your standard radio wave, but it is radio. And so they could be using something like this, some technology, something like this, to communicate. This, of course, is a baby step toward faster than light anything. It's just a baby step. But now that it's been done, and I'll give you the details on it. We have to take a break here in a minute. I'll give you the details on it when we come back from the break. But as I said, if you can imagine adding one to the speed of light, then someone can imagine how. Someone did, and it has now been done. It's not theoretical. It has actually been done. Radio waves have been made to travel faster than the speed of light. I'll give you the details when we come back. Then we'll open the telephone line for you. right, welcome back. Here are the details on this really exciting thing, and it is exciting, this thing about making something travel faster than the speed of light. It's scientist John Singleton. Now, you might be saying, okay, well, look, you know, anybody can make any claims they want to make, but, I mean, you know, only major laboratories would be able to do something like that. Well, I'm not sure that's true, but it is a major laboratory. Ever heard of Los Alamos National Laboratory? Yeah, bingo. That's the place. And he has created a gadget that abuses radio waves so severely that they finally sort of just give up and travel faster than the speed of light. He got the idea, you know, ideas are so powerful. He got the idea from watching pulsars and thinking about what pulsars are doing. And what this thing does is it sends light through a field of rapidly rotating magnetic fields. Very rapidly rotating magnetic fields, and it just keeps accelerating the light. So that, I said a beam of light, that's not correct. It's not light, it is radio waves. He sends a radio wave through rapidly rotating magnetic fields, and it just keeps kicking it faster until it exceeds the speed of light. Now, this is Los Alamos National Laboratory. This is not, you know, Joe out in his garage. This is a major, accredited, revered, in some cases feared, laboratory. And here's what Singleton says. He says, because nobody's really thought about things that travel faster than light, this is a wide open technological field. And he said, you know, for instance, think about what this could do for, are you ready? Communications. He said, you could have cell phones that communicate directly with the satellite instead of going through all those relay towers. He said these kinds of phones would, of course, be more reliable. You'd have more reliable service and more difficult for hackers to intercept. This technology that he has discovered could be used to target cancer cells in chemotherapy. And he said, you know, in that way, the patient would take the drugs, the chemotherapy, and then the radio waves would be used to activate them very specifically in the area around the tumor. And he talks about, you know, several ways there that it could be used in technology to help us in our everyday life. But now listen to this. This is really, really interesting here. This is a quote from John Singleton, the scientist that developed this means of making something travel faster than light. Listen to what he says. When something travels faster than light, when something travels faster than its own wave speed, you get a very large disturbance, he says. And these powerful signals that result, well, this would be how E.T., if he were out there, would likely try to communicate with us. Well. Of course, he says, if he were out there. Nevertheless, Singleton had seen the exact same thing that I've been talking about, and that is E.T. could not possibly have been using just plain old radio waves, because if E.T. were using plain old radio waves, you know what? His spaceship traveling faster than the speed of light would outrun his radio signal. All right, I'm going to open up the telephone lines, and we'll allow you to call in with whatever is on your mind. And the telephone number 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, how you doing, Kevin? This is Colin from New York, and I'm hoping for your survival because I'm a long-time listener, and, you know, although I've only been able to subscribe once, like many of your subscribers, I'm going through some troubles myself because of the economy, but it's getting better for me.
And that's good news.
And I think it's getting better for other people, so I'm hopefully in the next couple of weeks going to be able to join and become, you know, get into the members area and chat because I do so like so many of the people, so proud of Ryan in Seattle. And you know, you feel like part of the family when you see stuff of that going down. And that's good stuff, you know, for the regulars of us out there. But, all right, my point on what we're talking about is tachyon time. Have you, you know about tachyon time at this point, right?
Yes.
All right, so, you know, I think some of what you're saying perhaps relates a little bit to this extent of our knowledge in physics. And also, I was thinking of, you know, maybe not all too related because it's all too physical, but I heard somebody intelligently talking about chemtrails on the TED site, TED, Technology Education and Design. They put out these talks, and they're, you know, about 20 minutes long or so. And this guy was talking about how there's an effect on these sulfuric particles from volcanic activity in our, and that was part of what's leading to this chemtrails stuff, which is the geoengineering, and perhaps it's like kind of putting like sunglasses on our in our ozone layer, or this sort of thing, where we're trying to manipulate the weather, and this is all kind of well-known stuff. But on a physical level, there's this effect on these particles or these particulates where the sun on the top side is making the particle that much hotter and the bottom side's a little bit cooler, and then these gases are throwing off on each side, and this activity tends to levitate the particle into the mesosphere, and this is something that they're understanding is something that they're going to enable them to get a little better life, I guess, out of these, you know, particulates that would otherwise fall to the Earth. And the tachyon time point is that, you know, on the edge of these bubbles of tachyon time is, you know, it's something independent of, it's a sphere that seems to be independent of itself as it transitions through, you know, its existence. And
So do you think that this experiment that Singleton has done is dealing with tachyon time, or do you think it's something else?
I can't be sure of anything. It's just something that came to mind as I'm hearing you talk about this. And also last night when you were talking about the Rear Admiral from the Russian Navy talking about these things going 250 miles beneath the water, it did make me think of something natural that's out there, is a mantis shrimp, which is able to accelerate, not that fast, but with crazy, like almost like 300 pounds of force through its...
But now how big is it?
There's things in the natural world, and then you know, the idea of like photosynthetic life, which we know, this and then chemosynthesis, which you know about and we know about from real deep in the ocean, which occurs from the sulfuric acid, which is spewing out at like 200 and some odd degrees, you know, like almost 300 degrees. And there's life teeming there, you know, with all kinds of different differentiation and, you know, communities. And this is chemosynthesis because the light of sun is never getting down to these depths. And so on our very sphere, we know about this diversion. I mean, I don't know. It's just like sometimes I think every time I listen, it's like, and I love listening to stuff like this, I just get so frustrated that, like, why can't we just be more open? And it's not like our listeners. I'm not scolding our listeners because we all, our listeners all know are you know, we're open to this. But it just seems like when you go out into the world, that then you talk about anything that's real, and you want to just wake people up. It's just so hard.
Well, some people have gray cells, and some people have mud cells.
Yeah, but it's not like that, because I really, some of the people that you're describing as, like, you know, with the head up there, you know,
yeah,
the hindsight, this sort of thing that goes on, you know, and you run into it every day, especially when you try and share of yourself. I'm a very sincere person, and, you know, I'm a very hardworking person, and the two of those things go together well, because you can open up yourself with a fair kind of balance to the ridicule you'll receive. Like, they'll ridicule you, but it'll be like in a familial way. It'll be in a pietal way, where they'll want to include. It's inclusive. It's not exclusive. It's not like you're becoming a pariah, but like the lovable black sheep, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah, but
okay.
Look, you just have to keep in mind Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, and all the other isms have been on this planet for thousands of years with the expressed goal of spreading their message to humanity and getting people to believe. They haven't made it. The majority of people on the planet do not wake from their coma. They go through their entire life almost in terms of consciousness. They go through their life comatose, and they're happy to be there, and they think anyone that's not comatose is strange.
And that's what's so bizarre to me. It's like I'm thought of as odd, and
yeah,
it's like I just think of as I just understand. I mean, I am odd. Okay, you got me. You know, great, I'm odd.
Yeah, but let me ask you something. People that think of you as odd, have you asked any of them to marry you?
Well, I guess she's been with me for 25 years.
And she thinks you're odd.
I'm sorry?
She thinks you're odd?
She does think I'm a little off, you know, and that's...
Then I can't help you with that.
No, but, you know, it's not... But she also sees that that's like, you know, okay, we're all unique, but... when I started talking to her about chemtrails, and this is going back about, I don't know, it's got to be about 10 or 11 years ago,
mm-hmm,
I started telling her, look at these, this is not real. And then I started getting into it a little bit, and I realized that, like, yeah, no, because why do some jets leave them and some jets don't in the same moment, in the
mm-hmm
same altitude, in the same atmosphere? It's like, why is that happening? I mean, it's like, it can't be something that's just particular to jet fuel, because they all use the same kind of fuel. So it just like started occurring to me, like, what the hell is going on, you know? And then you started seeing them plume out, and I tried to explain to her, like, look at this. And then, like, you know, you try to talk to people about it, and they're like, look at you, like, you're crazy. I go back a decade ago, people like thought I was crazy. There's one neighbor of mine in particular who just now, a couple of years, I guess it's 2 years ago, so it's just like, you know, she's starting to see.
Hey, Colin, we're just about to head into a break, man.
I want to get off. I've taken too much time. I'm so sorry.
That's all right, man. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, we have a break coming up here in about 20 seconds. The telephone number 623-444-5889, and the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. We'll be back right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show, and let's go straight to the phone line. Caller, are you still with me? I guess that's my answer. All right. 623-444-5889. We put you on hold. Please stay there. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Or you can send me a flash message if you're outside the USA and outside of Canada. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Puget Sound.
Hey, Ryan. Let me congratulate you, man. You did a great thing.
Thank you. Well, basically, what happened was I wasn't trying to get any attention or anything, but I was sitting there. I don't have the best phone voice, and I am not really the best person at articulating things, but I basically have been getting sick and tired of the media refusing to ask the questions, these type of questions. So that's why I did it. I did it mainly for myself because
yeah.
It seems as if people are just afraid to ask about it. So,
well, I'll tell you what, it put the question on the map. But it also, in what you said, you know, you said, look, your administration, the administration has received hundreds of thousands of letters and emails where people are wanting the president to do disclosure. So when are you guys going to do this? And that was great because it put the fact out there in front of the whole world that the administration has been getting hundreds of thousands of letters and emails and probably faxes. I liked what you said. You said, you know, in view of the president's stance on transparency, when are you guys going to do something with this? That was perfect.
Yeah. Well, I honestly understand why. I almost feel that it would be disastrous politically for him to say something like this, especially with all these other things going on. It would almost be that I think the whole point of me calling was I basically just to get the issue in, towards. I really believe what he said, that I don't think he really has been briefed on it. Who knows if even Obama's been briefed on it. But, you know, I don't have the best phone voice. I don't sound the greatest. But when the Soviet Navy, the former chief commander of the Soviet Navy has released files that were previously secret describing USOs and then coming out of the water and flying around at incredible speeds, and nobody in the media even really seems to be reporting on it.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to be frustrating, and I think that the people, I think we have to start taking it into our own hands, you know, and I don't think I'm done. I think next I might call a couple other shows and ask a couple questions, too. So I'd like to challenge anybody out there in the audience to, if you get tired of some of the lack of, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. But,
I think I do. I think what you're saying is if you're fed up with the major media being nonsensical and not covering this story, then you cover it by calling in and asking the question.
Yeah, right. And if you're able to get through and ask a question, the person to email it to or call would be a guy named Grant Cameron. He has a lot of contacts. And I called him and told him about what I did because I know he has a website called presidentialufo.com and he's been on Fox a few times. And so he was able to spread the story around. I really think that when calling in and asking these types of questions, I think that is to mention the most credible people as possible. And so to keep him, and that's why I mentioned Dr. Mental, because, you know, he's such a credible person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to see people out in the audience to give it a shot.
Well, I would too, and I think that's what it takes. It will take a groundswell of people all over the country calling in to all of the talk shows and asking the questions.
Right. That's what it's going to take. We've done our met letters. We've done all that. Now, I've looked at all these options. I've looked at faxing. Okay, well, they're going to have tons of faxes. Are they going to look at your fax? Emailing? I'm sure their inbox is probably full. I mean, it's I don't know how many emails I get a day. Are they going to ever read your email? Or you could, the other option is to mail letter. Well, you know, you never know if they're going to, I mean, so I guess the only other option is to, now that show I called in has a lot of, in fact, later on that hour there was Newt Gingrich that was on there, but a few days before that, Doug Aldrin was on there, and I tried to get through that day and I couldn't get through. So I'd just like to see other people out there maybe join me in this. I'm not done yet. I'm going to pop another question to somebody. I'm going to say, look, the former chief commander of the Soviet Navy and from, I think it was, well, I'll have to come up with a statement.
Yeah. Well, I think you'll do well.
But anyway, I just thought I'd give you a ring.
I'm glad you did, and I want to thank you. And I think I can do this quite honestly on behalf of the whole audience. We appreciate what you did. It's all over the world. I don't know if you caught the show here that night, but I featured it on the show that night, and
yeah, yeah.
It was just great. I'm glad you did it, and more folks need to.
Yeah, I mean, when Balls Aldrin was on Washington Journal, he actually had a slip of the tongue, and he mentioned he was talking about going to Mars, and he goes, "Hey," he talked about a monolith on the moon of Mars, right there on the show.
Yes, he did. I saw that.
Yeah, and you know, and if there's a monolith on Mars, I think the people deserve to know about it.
But yeah, he said, "What do you think people are going to say when they find that out?"
So,
yeah. All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
You bet.
You have a good day. Now.
All right, bye. Yeah, Buzz Aldrin, the conversation, the interview that Ryan was talking about. Buzz Aldrin said, and I'll tell you. There is a monolith, a very tall monolith, on Phobos, the moon of Mars. And then he said, "And how do you think people will react when they find that out?" Now, he actually said that. I saw him say it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
How's it going, Kev?
Outstanding today.
I was listening to the show and enjoying it like always. I usually catch about 4 out of 5 shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting when you were talking about how you were going to give something for us to think about. I was thinking at that time, I can't wait to see what it is. You know, because it seems so small. And it seems mm-hmm. like it's not like that big of a deal. But when you think about it, some of these topics that we've delved into over the last 8 years are pretty intense on some of the information you started with. And so I wanted to get into that a little bit when it comes to the faster than the speed of light.
All right. Well, man, go for it. Whatever it is that you want to delve into, let's do it.
I'll start with you.
Okay.
What was exactly the experiment that they were doing? How did that experiment work that achieved the faster than the speed of light?
All right. What they did is they built a... I'm going to hold this photograph up so those who are watching on our TV can see it. And what you're looking at looks like a series of circuit boards. And that series of circuit boards generates very rapidly moving magnetic fields. And then they transmit the radio wave through those rapidly moving magnetic fields. And the rapidly spinning magnetic fields sort of kick that radio wave in the rear and kick it faster and faster and faster until it accelerates faster than the speed of light.
Okay, I was going to add to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was looking up magnetism, and I was delving through there, and it was showing that electromagnetic radiation is a form of what we see as far as radio waves.
Uh-huh.
And
Bob, can you hang on through this break?
Sure can.
Yep, you hang on. I don't want to. I want to get everything in there, so hang in there. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let's go back to the telephone line and Bob in California. So, Bob, we had to interrupt you for the break. So the mic is yours, man.
Sure. We were talking about light waves and radio waves working together to create that effect that went faster than light at one respect or another, correct?
Well, what we're talking about is rapidly spinning electromagnetic fields.
Mm-hmm.
And a radio wave. So no light, but just radio.
My thing that I was thinking was, is there's different types of waves. Sometimes when you're making a cake, you have different ingredients, and it can be a carrot cake, and it can be an ice cream cake, and they're two different cakes for different people. If they're using radio waves right there, there's gamma rays, X-rays, ultraviolet radiation, and besides actual magnetics, there's different forces such as I don't know if it's gravity or I'm not an actual expert, but you can imagine maybe mixing different forces with different kinds of electromagnetic radiation is something that the aliens ahead of us are more accustomed to, and we're just starting to get into there, and we might actually just be picking up on the first radio and hitting the first frequency, like you're saying. But I wanted to get into something a little bit different really quick. It was by a physicist named Lambert Dolphin. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
One thing that he was saying is physicist Hal Puthoff, I'm not sure who he is, has recently suggested the ability, and this is an article from 10 years ago, has recently suggested the ability of a spacecraft to modify the properties of space in its immediate vicinity could allow it to travel faster than light. This is because the speed of light is simply a measure of two properties of a medium of space or the vacuum, permeability, permittivity. It has been tactically assumed, and it goes on from there. But basically what he's trying to say is with different properties, it says measure not only the electrical properties of space, but mechanical properties. The important thing there was he was talking about magnetic forces as far as going faster than the speed of light. And so what I was going to get into was how is this going to relate to the paranormal? Well, I found something interesting. I happened to track down something randomly from the 1800s. That was actually transcribed onto the internet. I think it was through, I don't know exactly who it was through. I think it was through Google's books. And on page 501, on a book by Gustav Bischoff, Benjamin Horatio Paul, John Drummond, for something to do with the Cavendish Society in London. Have you heard of that before?
Yes.
What is that?
I don't know, but I've heard of it.
Huh, interesting. Okay, it was from the 1800s on page 501. They were doing different studies as far as magnetism, because I couldn't find a lot as far as different mountain ranges. I typed in the word mountains, and it says, on the other hand, Hanstein states that large mountain ranges exercise a sensible influence upon the mean direction of the magnetic needle. They were using needles back then. They looked at their needle. They went by mountains, and they realized, hey, this is affecting it. This result is obtained from an extended series of observations made by himself as to the deviation and dip of the magnetic needle and magnetic force during a journey through Sweden and especially through the mountainous western part of Norway. And it ends up going on from there. But basically, that's one of the first parts of proof. Besides, you know, I'm sure they probably knew about that a long time ago. But it's showing about how rocks and the Earth have magnetism, which is going to lead me to my last thing. And this was interesting. One of the parts that had to do with magnetism and as far as propulsion systems is when you look up what exactly contains magnetism, you get this. You get nickel, iron, cobalt, galvanium. They're called magnets. But you also get something else called non-magnetic substances that are still affected. You get copper, aluminum, water, and gases. So I'll leave you with this, and I'll let you talk on it for a bit because it's a bit mind-boggling. But where are the UFOs coming out of a lot of times they're talking about lately? Water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the UFOs traveling where Jeff Warren's talking about in between here and there and the old people from Laguna Beach and all these other different mountainous areas? They seem to travel a lot, around a lot of mountain mountain lines. Mm-hmm. And Jeff even has seen some of them go absolutely into mountains in one way or another, almost as if that's their home. Well, there were some petroglyphs that Jeff saw where it was showing on the side of the rocks as far as doorways in and out. And people say, hey, it's just a rock. How can it be a doorway? Well, apparently from all this evidence, magnetism in rocks and doorways and water go far beyond what we think, and it sounds like they just started to hit the first pastry that starts out with maybe tomatoes and some cheese, and the next thing you know, you have pizza and ravioli sometime in the future. I'll leave you with that. I don't know if I hit anything. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, now that's a perspective I hadn't thought of. Maybe there is something to this, to the rocks and the water. Maybe, you know, when you think about it, ancient religions, several of them, revered earth, wind, fire. Well, there was something else. What was it? Earth, wind, and fire. Of course, that was a famous rock group as well. But ancient religions revered earth, wind, fire. Wonder why. Maybe there's something to the properties that those things have that have to do with the ability of these spacecraft. Who knows? I don't know. Interesting, though. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. It's really interesting what the last caller just brought up. I tend to agree with a lot of what he says. I can only base on the fact that there are some, and this is just my spin. Of course, the Merkaba light ships use crystals to travel, so electromagnetic isn't really so much important, an important aspect of that. But there are some ships, some starships that do use forms of like metals to travel, like copper or silver or gold. And so the other caller's comment about the ships coming in and out of, say, maybe South Mountain and other mountain ranges that may be very high in specific metal content, like iron or copper or silver or gold, that could, the reason why they're doing that is because that could be like a fueling station for them.
Well, you know, here in Arizona, Arizona, of course, it's all much deeper now because of mining, but Arizona's full of copper and silver.
Right. So that would be maybe another reason why that they're going in and out of the mountains. There are also other ships that use water as a propellant. I mean, we're starting to look at water molecules as a possible form of alternative fuel other than gas or kerosene. So there are other spaceships that also use water as a means to fuel their ships. So I just think it's kind of interesting that he's, you know, making these observations. And I'm thinking, well, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, where can you get the fuel that you need for your ship if it's running on water? Well, you get it from the ocean, or you get it from a lake, or a river, or whatever.
Let me just interject something here. I don't know why, but the thought came to me as you were talking. Isn't it interesting? Whenever you put hydrogen and oxygen together in one form, you have a very powerfully explosive rocket fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Put it together in another form, and you can drink it.
Right. But again, and as you probably know, just in basic chemistry, it's the ratio of the molecule,
mm-hmm.
of one molecule to an element to the molecule of another element,
mm-hmm.
and the combination of the two of them. So, yeah, you're definitely correct.
So we drink rocket fuel.
Well, yeah, if we would take one of the hydrogen atoms out, yeah, definitely we would be. One of the hydrogen molecules, we definitely mm-hmm. would be. But I just thought it was really interesting that he brought that up, and that as he was talking about it, I was like you. I had a thought. I'm like, gee, you know, this is really interesting, because I know that the other starships run on these various types of fuels. Not all starships run on electromagnetic energy. Mm-hmm. Not all starships run on crystals. You know, they have various means of, especially the ships that I want to say that are a lot less organic and that are more like what we're used to, you know, the big metal contraption monsters that we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they run on more primitive system. Of course, our fossil fuels are very, very primitive compared to using copper or gold or silver or iron to run. As you know, water, it's the same thing. But, of course, you know, we're looking at water as an alternative fuel. So, you know, that's actually a little bit closer to that. But I just thought I'd call in and kind of add my little comment on that, about what he was talking about.
All right. Thanks for the call, Debbie.
All right, Kev. Hey, and another thing I want to say before I get offline. Thank you so much for having the commercials of Stuart and Jeremy. I never get tired of watching them because Jeremy is so cute, and I think Stuart's just, like, really cool. So,
okay, well, they're probably listening or watching the show right now, so I'm sure they're glad to hear that. Thanks for the call. All right, 623-444-5889. Or 888-223-4599, and we would be more than happy to take your call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
You were looking for earth, air, water, and fire.
Earth, air, water, and fire. Yeah, I left water out.
Yeah. It's the four elements, of the base elements used in alchemy and all the ancient practices,
mm-hmm.
and
you're exactly
so,
right.
Symbol. Go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. And you know, have you seen the movie The Fifth Element?
Pardon me?
Have you seen the movie called The Fifth Element?
Oh, yes, I have, yes.
Well, basically good. What you have is you have those four elements, earth, wind, water, and fire, and to that is added this fifth element, which is actually, when you boil it down, her consciousness.
Right.
So, but I was just thinking maybe there is something in the combination of those elements that can produce what we call anti-gravity, or that can produce faster than light travel. Maybe there's something about that. I mean, you know, you got to ask yourself, what was it about all of those ancient religions that made them say those are the essential elements?
Well, you might think that they are two sets of polarities, and if combined in the proper, the proper way, or aligned the proper way, they set up an effect,
mm-hmm.
which it normally wouldn't, you know, wouldn't produce.
Yeah,
it's balance when you stand at the center. You know, if you remember in the old George Adamski books, where he did a drawing of what appeared to be a swastika.
Yeah.
But yet it wasn't a swastika as used in the Germans, but it was more like the swastika the Indians used.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this swastika represented how the people that he contacted supposedly powered their ships. Said there was a secret in that. And that's the four elements again.
Now, that's very interesting, because in these petroglyphs out here on South Mountain, there are swastikas.
Yep, exactly.
And
another thing, too, you were talking about the faster than light.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 1890s, I think it was, or maybe the early 1900s, I can't be exactly sure, Nikola Tesla set up an experiment where he transmitted a signal through the Earth's crust from Colorado Springs to his factory or laboratory down in South Africa and back. And they calculated the speed of that signal going through the crust and back at the speed of light to 27th power.
Really? Now, I had not heard that.
Yeah. Or let's say it this way, 27 times faster than the speed of light.
27 times faster than the speed of light.
I used to be a member of the Tesla Society.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's now defunct. And this is one of the things I read in one of their magazines.
That is interesting. If you can dig up some information on that experiment, I would love to read it because that's one I had not heard of.
Right. You don't hear people talking about that every day.
Yeah. Well, but then, you know, there you go. That proves that the speed of light is not the fastest speed there is.
Exactly. And, you know, that special relativity thing that Einstein came up with was not from the point of view of the person doing the traveling, but from the point of view of the person observing the person doing the traveling.
Yeah.
So, on this Mars thing, I still don't have an answer for you yet, but it's in the works. And so I'll let you go with that, give you something to think about.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Mike.
All right.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Wow, 27 times the speed of light. Now, that is what you call full tilt boogie. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Jerry. I'm calling from somewhere in northern Arizona.
Well, hello, Jerry.
On Highway 40.
Well, you're about 3 hours from home then.
Yeah, about 3 hours away from home. It's been a 12-hour day so far of driving.
So you've been in New York?
Yes, we were out in New York, actually for better part of July. We were in the Catskill for about a week. And we're in the outskirts of New York for about 2.5 weeks.
So what were you doing there? Were you in a conference, or were you doing some work with healing, or what were you doing? Ah, we've lost him. Well, I was afraid that would happen because he's traveling. Jerry Wills, he's going to be with us on Friday night, and I look forward to that. It's always a great time when Jerry's with us. And but he's been in New York for, as he said, most of the month of July. But he'll be with us on the show Friday night, and that's when we will do the drawing. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Jerry again. I seem to be dropping in and out of bad cell zones. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That is all right. Jerry, have you heard the news that we're talking about?
No, not a bit.
Jerry, Los Alamos National Laboratories, a scientist there, has been able to make radio waves travel faster than the speed of light.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so that means that that validates what I've been saying. There are no laws of physics.
Absolutely. Well, and you know something, Kevin, speaking of the laws of physics, I was just driving along here with Kathy, and I figured I had to give you a call.
Okay.
And the reason is because it suddenly occurred to me that there are probably people who are listening to this program right now who are not members of the Kevin Smith Show.
You're right.
It's only $6.95 a month. That's, what, a quarter a day? That's not very much for all the great pieces of information you hear, like radio waves traveling faster than the speed of light.
That is true. That is true.
So, everyone listening, go join right now. Well, and if you do, I have something special for you in a couple of days.
Yeah, a rock from the time and space portal.
I have a rock from Pucar, the time and space portal, deep in the Andes in Peru.
Oh, I thought it was from the one in Arizona.
Well, I've got that one, too.
But you're going to be giving away the one from Peru?
I will.
Okay. Outstanding. We're going to do that on Friday night, Jerry.
Absolutely. We'll do it.
All right, man. Listen, I appreciate the call.
It's good talking to you, Kevin. I've missed you, buddy.
Oh, yeah. It's great hearing from you again, too. And, you know, you're dropping out of the area where it's been raining where you were, and you're headed back down here into North Hell.
Yeah, you know, it's a real nice 73 degrees up here in northern Arizona right now.
At midnight, last night, Jerry, midnight, I did an addition to my blog at MySpace, and the temperature here at midnight was 102.
Wow. Well, it looks like we're coming back just in time to fry some eggs on the sidewalk.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 115 tomorrow, I think.
Oh, great. Well, yeah. I hope the AC is working.
All right, Jerry, you guys be safe.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. It's always a pleasure to talk with Jerry. Great guy. Jerry Wills, my guest on Friday night. You know, some of the other guests we have coming up I think will be of tremendous interest to you. One that you've been asking for that will be coming up pretty soon, won't be this week, it'll be soon, is Jim Mars. I talked with him today. And we've got some others that are headed this way that I think you're really, really going to enjoy because you've been asking for them, and we've been able to get them signed up as guests. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Those are the numbers to call, or you can send me a flash message if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada. All right, let's take a look at a flash message real quick here. Kevin, if... okay. That's from the United Kingdom, and Nick wants to know if the show doesn't make it, are we going to return the donations that have come in? The answer to that would have been yes, but Nick, if you caught the beginning of the show, you heard me announce we made it for this month. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Eli from Portland again.
Hi, how are you doing, Eli?
Good, thank you. Good.
Good.
Now I'm just getting home from work tonight. A few minutes ago, and so I'm sorry if you guys already covered this tonight. But have you guys talked about this C-SPAN interview with Buzz Aldrin?
Yeah, where he Buzz said there is a monolith on Phobos, the moon of Mars.
Yeah. That's some pretty exciting news. Is there? I've only really just heard about it. I was wondering if you had gotten any more information about that.
No, and I will say this tongue-in-cheek. Since Buzz Aldrin said it, you can expect within a month or two he'll be on some other show denying he said it.
No, I know, exactly. just like the UFO that they saw on the way to the moon. Oh, no. Yeah. I didn't say that. What I meant was this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But there is, as he said, there is a monolith. And, you know, it'll be a little hard to wiggle out of this one because he followed that statement up by saying, just wait till people find that out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. It really makes one wonder if... Maybe as he's getting up in years, he's going, you know, there's not too much more that they can hold over me at this point. It'd be interesting if he was having sort of a break from the party line.
Well, I think that was a break from the party line, and I hope he continues. I hope he follows in the footsteps of Edgar Mitchell.
We can only hope.
Yeah, because those guys can really tell us some things.
Yeah, I think they really could. On the subject, have you
Hey, listen, we have a break taking over. Can you hang on through the break?
Yeah, sure.
Yep, hang on. You won't hear anything. You'll just be on hold, and we'll be back to you right after this break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the line with me is Eli, right?
That's correct, yep.
Okay, Eli. I had to cut you off just as we got started there, so the floor is yours, sir.
Oh, thank you so much. What I was wondering was your thoughts on the we've heard, you know, perhaps rumors that the American astronauts went through sort of a deprocessing when they came down. Some would say, I've heard some people say that they went through some sort of like a mind control, memory loss, because of some of the strange things they said about how, you know, they've been interviewed, the astronauts have walked on the moon, some of them have been interviewed, and, you know, they said that they couldn't remember too many details of being there, which I always thought was bizarre. I would think that, you know, if you walk on the moon, that'd be like every second would be totally ingrained on your memory forever. Either mind control or like heavy, you know, just sort of like heavy debriefing to not talk about some of the things that they have seen. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, a couple. First, is it possible that that happened? Sure, it's possible. To the best of my knowledge, all the astronauts who have been asked about that have denied that that happened. But is it possible? Sure, it's possible. But I've been places in my life that 99% of America will never go, and probably 80% don't even know exist. And yet, if you were to ask me to start recounting things about it, just off the top of my head, there would be a lot that I would not remember. But if someone that was with me there, they remember something else, and so they say, "Well, you know, what about when this happened?" Oh, yeah, and then I remember that, and the reason for that, and listen, I'm telling you, I've been in some very exotic places. But the reason for that is that I have so many things like that, big events like that, to remember. I had forgotten, I'll give you an example. I was part of the security detail that protected Ambassador Richard Holbrooke when he came to Pristina, Kosovo. And I was assigned to stay right with him as he met the police commissioner. I had forgotten about that until I ran across a picture of it. And it's because I've been assigned to do so many things like that in my career. You follow what I'm saying?
So,
of course, there's nothing quite like going to the moon. However, it's just one more thing that the astronauts do. You know, I mean, they had many, 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 many things they had to do before and after. I mean, there was, think of, you know, the meetings with the President of the United States, the parades, all of the news conferences. And so the details get fuzzy just from having an overload of things, big events that you have to contend with and you have to prepare for. And you can't really think about that. You've got to think about this. And so, you know, it gets fuzzy.
I'll get off the line with somebody else call, but I have one last question for you.
Sure.
This is sort of a speculative question. Of all the fascinating anomalies that we've seen on the planets in our solar system, whether it be the face on Mars or the city on Mars or perhaps ruins on the moon or the Great Wall on Iapetus or this monolith on the moon of Mars, if you, Kevin, had the wherewithal to go, okay, I want public knowledge of this particular mystery, which one would it be? And I'll listen off the air.
All right. It would be the moon, because it's right here in our backyard. if there's someone or something living on that moon, it's right here. It's not across the solar system. It is right here. And so if there's anything living on the moon, I would want to know all about that. Next would be Mars, because that's the next closest heavenly body to us. But I would want to know about the moon first and foremost. One of the things I find interesting is that Buzz Aldrin is calling for he's saying, look, what's the use in going back to the moon? We've already been there, done that. Let's get some people over to Mars. Mars is where the action is. I wonder if someone perhaps has told him to go out and be a cheerleader for Mars because of the fact that if we go back to the moon, they will be forced to disclose that there is, in fact, a base already there. I have wondered if perhaps that is a little bit of misdirection. And I don't assign anything nefarious or malicious to Buzz Aldrin or to his motives or intent. But I wonder if someone maybe has sort of prodded him that direction to be a cheerleader for Mars because they really don't want us looking at the moon. It's here. The moon, you can almost reach out and touch it. It's so close. And so if it were within my power to make a decision and to say, okay, this is what I want disclosed, this is it, and it's going to happen. If I had that power, it would be the moon. Mars is fascinating. It's just fascinating. But the moon is right here. It's fascinating as well. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is John from Arkansas.
Hello, John from Arkansas. Are you a first-time caller, John?
Yes, sir, I sure am.
We got to give you some applause.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're certainly welcome. I appreciate you calling. What's on your mind, John?
No problem. Well, I was discovering some interesting things. Of course, YouTube here. On the SOHO, the solar and I believe it's helioscopic observatory out in space that looks at the sun and, blocks it out so you can see the stuff around it.
Yeah.
And there's some pretty interesting stuff that I've seen.
Yeah, like spaceships?
That around the sun that's obviously not meteors or comets. One thing, in fact, seems to have its like own tail coming off of it and not coming from the sun. I just wondered if you'd seen anything about that.
I have. And there's a series of photographs that shows what appears to be a spaceship.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. It's even delta wind.
Mm-hmm. And these are real stuff, too. This isn't something somebody made up. I actually went to the SOHO, the NASA website, and it took a little while because it takes a moment to download the little movie it makes. But once you do it, you look and you see this is stuff that NASA's actually put out there, and it's actually on, it's for real. It's real pictures taken, but there's obviously no explanation as to what it is.
Yeah, but you see, John, that goes hand in hand with what I say about NASA. People say NASA's always lying to us, and I'm not defending NASA, but my observation is they disclose a whale of a lot of stuff to us, but they just do it in a way that's just no fanfare, or if they do it with words, they do it with words that are ambiguous. But there you've got some photographs. They don't try to hide them. There's obviously spaceships in those photographs, and it's NASA's photographs.
Some of them look like these Quetzalcoatl kind of snake-like images.
Mm-hmm.
Really strange. The snake god of the Mayans. And
yeah.
One passes really close, and it doesn't. You could tell it's obviously more than just something streaking by. It's got kind of a pulsation down the line of it, and it's kind of curved, but they're really not natural-looking things, you know. They really look like, well, I'd say man-made, if if not some other man-made.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very interesting.
But, you know, I just going to bring that up. That was my comment.
All right, John. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. All right. Let's deal with one of our flash messages. This one is from Andrew in Australia. It says, I was wondering if you caught any of the live broadcast of the ExoPolitics conference in Spain. The answer is no, I didn't. And then he continues, in Bob Dean's presentation at around 25-minute mark, he showed a picture of three UFOs taken by, I think, Apollo 13. One UFO was 5 miles in size, one UFO 2 miles in diameter, and the last one was a small scout ship. All three UFOs were in the one picture, lined up from left to right. The picture was given to him by a NASA employee and had the NASA negative code on it. If anyone missed this, I'm sure a Google search will find it. Andrew, I saw that those videos, especially the one of Bob Dean speaking in Spain, is up on the internet. It was at Google Video. And no, I had not seen that, but very interesting. I will take a look at it. Let's see. This is from Patrick in Australia. G'day, Kevin. I was wondering if you or anyone in your audience have an opinion on shadow people. I've looked into this a little, and the medical fraternity seem to believe they're caused by, I don't know how you say that, hypnagogia. I have trouble with this because the feeling of dread often happens before you notice the shadow person. If you don't think this is a relevant topic, that's okay. Cheers, Patrick. Patrick, I lived on East Timor for 2 years. I know, since you're in Australia, you know where East Timor is. East Timor has shadow people, and a lot of them. One of the American cops that was stationed in the same place where I was stationed, we were in Vekeke. This guy is very feet on the ground, very, very, he doesn't believe in these kinds of things. And one day he came to me and said, Kevin, what do you know about shadow people? And we talked about it a little bit. And I asked him, you know, well, why are you asking me this? And he said, well, because I've seen one. It came through the window in my room. And, of course, the windows there, as you will know, Patrick, have no screens on them. They have no glass in the window. It's just a hole in the wall. One came through the window, walked across to my bed, stood there and looked at me, and then went out through the door. Now, I heard a lot of stories from a lot of cops in East Timor that saw those things. I have no doubt about them. I don't know what they are, but I have no doubt about their existence. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back, and we'll be on Final Approach when we come back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And it's Open Line Live. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Or if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. You do that by going to my website, scroll down, you'll see the link that says flash message. This one from Stuart and Jeremy. Now, Stuart and Jeremy, for those of you who are new, that's the man and the little boy that you see in those commercial breaks on our TV channel. And they live in Japan, okay? And anyway, this one is addressed to Debbie, okay? It says, "Hey, hey, Debbie, thanks very much. We did hear you and Kevin talk about us. Funny timing, really, as I was writing the script for the new little video I want to do today." And that's from Stuart and Jeremy. They do a great job, don't they? Jeremy's a little star. Hey, Stuart, you're okay too. But Jeremy, I mean, 5 years old, he's a little star. But we really appreciate them for producing all of those great little videos for us that we use in the commercial breaks. Okay, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. And we will talk about whatever is on your mind. We've got time for one or maybe two calls before the end of the show. The thing about the shadow people, though, now, see, that is really a mystery to me, and I've done several shows where we brought that up and asked the guest to address it, asked the guest to tell us about it. But I've never really gotten, in my mind, I've never really gotten it nailed down as to really what these things are. But I do know that on East Timor, there are, I talked to many international police officers who said they saw them. And those who have been listening to the show for quite some time have heard me talk about the dogs of Vakeke, East Timor. And I'll tell you, even bringing the subject up makes the hair on my arms stand up and the hair on the back of my neck stand up. It would make the hair on my head stand up if I had any. But it vacated me a long time ago. But the dogs in Vakeke, East Timor, every night, I was there for 2 years. Well, I wasn't in Vakeke for 2 years, but I was in East Timor for 2 years. I was in Vakeke for most of the time that I spent in East Timor. And I was the police chief there. The police, they called me Comandante. And every night at midnight, there would be the most mournful, soulful howling of a dog far into the distance. And then dogs closer would start to howl. Then those dogs would stop howling and the dogs closer would howl. And then they would stop and the dogs closer would howl. And this would happen until the dogs coming right up my street where I lived, the dogs would howl. And so I decided to go out and find out what was going on. I went out one night to find out. And even my dog was involved in the howling. And what they would do, they would begin to howl. Just, you know, like two or three dogs right around my house would begin to howl, and they were looking all the same direction down the street to the left. And then all of them, as if they were watching something, would turn and watch it as they howled and move to the, they would turn their heads to the right. And then they would stop, and the dogs up the street would start howling. And this would happen, they would follow the street and go right up across, pardon me, across into, I was in Vakeke, the next little town, I mean, they were like right together. But you just go across a little mountain there, and or around a couple of curves in the mountain, and you were in Beloy. And the cemetery was in Beloy. And this would go right up the street, all the way to the cemetery, and stop. Now, how do I know it stopped up there? Well, we had police officers that lived right across the street from the cemetery. And I started asking questions. Have you guys heard this howling? And everyone said yes. And I tracked it down, you know, as where it was going, and found that it was ending at the cemetery. Now, this happened every night at midnight. When I went out to see what was going on, I saw the dogs. I saw nothing else. So I asked my landlord about this, the guy that I rented a house from. And he said, it's the spirits walking. And I said, spirits of who, of what? And he said, well, you know, half of Timor's population died in this civil war, in this war with Indonesia. And he said, so most people think that's what it is, that it's the spirits of those people that are walking. And they've been out, now it's midnight, and they're returning to the cemetery. So that's what the local people told me, that's what they believe. I don't know what it was, but I know the dogs could see it. And I know the dogs responded to it, and I know it happened every night at midnight. My wife wanted to come to East Timor and see where I lived and worked. And I warned her about this. I warned her about several things that were pretty unusual at East Timor. But I warned her about this. And it took her a while to get used to it. It was pretty frightening to her that very first night. When it started, it was pretty scary for her. Because, you know, we were maybe 25 or 30 feet from the roadway. That's the house was 25 to 30 feet back from the roadway. And right out in front of the house is where this was happening. So I don't know really what to tell you about shadow people. I think I saw a shadow person while I was there, but I talked with a number of international police officers who were absolutely certain they saw a shadow person. And they were, as I said, very straight, very squared away, feet on the ground kind of people. And they were absolutely certain they did. I am absolutely certain about the dogs and the howling, but I really don't have any answers for what it is. It is strange. It's very strange. And people who have never been to a place like this probably think it's just an exaggeration. But, you know, it's kind of hard for me to exaggerate. When you've been as many places, seen as much, and done as much as I've been exposed to as an international police officer, it's pretty hard to exaggerate. I mean, there's just so much truth that seems bigger and stranger than fiction that it's hard to exaggerate beyond that. Shadow people exist. I don't know what they are. I think a lot of you probably have some experience with that. A lot of you probably have seen them. And you may have come to some conclusions about what they are. I haven't. All right, folks, we'll be back tomorrow night. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me anything you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.